Oneida County Legislator for the Marcy District, Rick Fliznick.
Thank you, Mark.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great.
Quite the rally yesterday.
It was. We had a nice turnout. I think the message got out there. We're basically looking for some answers. And before I go on, I just have to preface what I say with a disclaimer. I'm a Oneida County legislator representing the town of Marcy for the last 8 years. I'm obviously a resident of Oneida County and a taxpayer. I work for Department of Corrections, Oneida Correctional Facility. I am not a spokesman for the Department of Correction. I'm basically a spokesman for the community. And I have my personal opinions pertaining to this matter.
So you're right. I mean, this is, you're right in the middle of this storm.
And
on so many levels. You're a correctional facility employee. You're a county ledge. And you're a resident.
Most definitely.
A taxpayer.
Yeah.
Tell people why you guys held a rally yesterday.
Well, basically, our thought and our message, we want to get out, we need to get out, is we understand the tough, difficult choices ahead for the state. Governor Cuomo, upon election, understood that he had a $10 billion deficit to deal with and to try to take care of. We understand difficult choices included consolidations, closures, and potential layoffs of state workers. We do understand that. What we don't understand is why Oneida Correctional and why the six other facilities have been identified. We really have not seen or understand what the process is. We have not seen the information or statistics to back up Oneida Correctional closing. We're basically asking the governor for the report, for the information, why Oneida Correctional.
It doesn't make sense. I am going on the record as a talk show host and saying this is the worst move I've seen a governor make, and one that touts transparency, ethics, and everything like that. Well, let's be transparent and let's see the facts and the figures on what went through this decision. Because you look at the map of all the other facilities throughout the state, and it was at the rally yesterday, and there was a big bullseye in the middle.
Bottom line is there was somebody at the rally yesterday that had a map, and basically what it indicated in our central New York region, if we lose these three facilities, if they're closed down, we'll have four out of seven shutting down, where other regions in the last 2 years basically have had no facilities,
yeah.
0-7, 0-12. So we're concerned about that. We're concerned about the impact to our community, obviously. But we're basically asking and requesting information about where Oneida sits and where the savings will be realized.
And I want to see if they've done a study or a report on the economic impact that will have in the area. Because a lot of these guys, they're going to have to move. They're going to have to pick up their families and walk out of town and relocate somewhere. And some of these guys have been there for 20, 30 years.
Mark, you're absolutely right. Before you lay off people and before you displace them to other parts of the state, we need to know why you're doing that. Tough, difficult decisions, we understand. But before you, again, cause hardships to families, you got to back up your rationale, and that's all. Again, that's all we're asking at this point.
624-0870 if you want to chime in on this topic, because we're going to be talking about it pretty much all day. Because this is the new Griffiths Air Force Base to me. This is cutting a leg out of our job force, and you take this, and especially in the city of Rome, you take this and you push it together with the closure of the Rite Aid facility. That was 300 jobs. We could lose up to, I've heard 500, I've heard 300 jobs from this closure. How is anybody helping this area? I'm getting fired up already, Rick.
Thanks,
Mark.
I
can't take it because I was sitting there listening to the arguments that you were making yesterday, and it really doesn't make sense. They just, talk about the facility. Talk about what they've done. They've just put in a couple million dollars to make some upgrades to it.
Yeah, there's been a lot of upgrades, and I'm sure there's been upgrades at other facilities throughout the state, but it's been very substantial, the improvements. It is our understanding this facility, as far as operationally and structurally at this point, although it is an old facility, is in great working order. We got great staff there, and we're cost effective. So if you're looking to save money throughout the state, again, it doesn't make any sense to us at this point why you would close Oneida Correctional Facility down.
It's another slap in the face to Central New York, and that's what I'm calling it. It's a slap in the face. They're thumbing their noses to us. I didn't see any representatives from the governor's office. Have you spoken to anybody from the governor's office?
I personally have not. I believe our representatives who are standing side by side with us, Assemblywoman Tenney, Senator Griffo, they are pressing the issue. They are asking for answers, and at this point, that's what we have to have, answers.
Yeah, we need to have a consolidated front, and you saw it with all the politicians yesterday. Everybody was there, Democrat, Republican, saying this isn't a issue that's split, you know, between party aisles. This is an issue that affects my neighbors over here, your neighbors, your teachers, because somebody and everybody's life is tied to the Oneida County Correctional Facility. Well, either you know somebody or you know somebody that knows somebody. It's like the seven degrees of separation to Kevin Bacon. You can always make a relate back to Kevin Bacon through seven actors, and it's the same thing with this. And if we lose this, I think this area is in trouble, and it's just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, unemployment statewide and locally is above 8%. There's not a lot of jobs. There's not a lot of high-paying jobs. Again, as taxpayers, we want the right choices, difficult decisions ahead for the governor. But, again, prove your point. If you have the facts and figures to back up why Oneida should close, let's see them. And again, as a community, we stick together. We've seen closures before. We've seen potential closure of DFAS and the Air Lab. We fought that fight and won on both accounts because we were able to prove to the federal government that those two facilities shouldn't move out. They should remain. And in the case of DFAS, not only did it remain, employment, I believe, doubled.
It grew, yeah.
Yeah,
yep.
From 300 plus to about 1,000 employees. So it's a great community. We stick together, but we can't fight this fight unless we have the facts from the governor's office at this point.
Now, what's the timeline for this whole process with the closure? What are we looking at? How immediate is this going to be?
Immediate is understatement.
Yeah.
We have to move as quickly as possible. There's been a thought about an injunction. That's difficult. You have to have money to hire an attorney, mm-hmm. to have an attorney take your case and file the injunction. We're working on that right now. It takes money, and we're pursuing that right now.
It was announced right before the 4th of July weekend. And now we're less than, what, we're about a week out? Yeah, I would say about a week and a half out.
That's not surprising. Typically, you'll see politicians dump bad news.
And then it's like, I'm on vacation. Sorry, the governor's on vacation. He can't take any calls or anything like that. It is BS. And Jim Brown said it yesterday. It was BS that this is happening. And we're not, and it's just, to me, it doesn't make sense. And you see this go, you know, happen all over the state. But it's usually a wind down of 60, 90 days. It's 2 weeks they're giving everybody to get their transfer orders. The prisoners already are getting transferred. The families are, I'm at a loss for words on the rationale of the governor on this.
Well, as we know, it used to be 1 year before closure of any facility.
Right.
We understand that. That's been modified and it's been changed to 90 days. Again, 90 days, it's not a lot of time. But if the governor, when he announced the closures, the seven closures, if he did a document dump and showed us exactly why that Thursday before last, at least we could have started to dissect and challenge mm-hmm. at that point. We haven't seen any documents. We have not seen any reports. You saw the passion from the people that were there from the community.
I saw people weeping yesterday. There were families that were hugging each other, and they were crying because of they don't know the solution for this.
Tremendous impact on families. But the bottom line is you see the passion from the community. You see the passion from our politicians. You saw Pacente there. You saw Jim Brown. You saw Claudia Tenney and Joe Griffo. They're very vocal. They're behind us. And we're going to push forward and ask for answers.
We will be joined by our state senator later today. Joe Griffo will be in. Right now it's Oneida County Legislator Rick Flisnick out of Marcy. It's described now. They have consolidated services at this facility, right? For the rest of the state, they brought in they were talking about the pharmacy. They brought in the food aspect, the distribution. we're called Central New York. We're not the northern tier, the southern tier. We're not New York City. We're Central New York. We're a hub in the state. So it's just another reason why it doesn't make sense to close down a centrally located facility like this.
Part of the rationale we've heard for closure of certain facilities is savings of transportation. Transportation, I would assume, would be inmates and products to the different facilities, actually, to make sure they run and operate efficiently. And it's ironic that you have a centrally located facility adjacent to another facility being closed. You have two downstate facilities being closed, even though we know a majority of our inmates are from downstate.
Right.
And you have facilities 7-8 hours away remaining open. It doesn't make any sense.
I am all for government cutting and saving money where we can when it makes sense. If it makes sense, go for it. If it doesn't make sense, if you have the facts and the figures to back up your closures, then that's fine. But if this is all political nonsense, then people are sick of it.
Well, that's our concern. Is the closures based on facts, or is it based on politics? And we don't want the same old, same old. That's been New York State for 30 years. That's why the state has regressed.
That's why we're broke.
Most definitely. That's why we had to plug a $10 billion deficit, because of politics and not good decision-making. So we're going to press on. I'll say it, and I'll say it again. We're not giving up the fight. We're only beginning that fight. Time is of the essence, and we're going to move forward on this issue.
It's 624-0870 if you want to give us a call and support either way. I would love to hear some of the opposing arguments, and I promise I won't yell at you about them. It's 624-0870. Hi, Talk of the Town, you're on.
Hey, Mark.
Good morning.
One way to get money is just, well, it won't happen, but he can go after the Indians for millions and millions. But since he's getting an envelope once a year from them, he'll never go after them.
The Indian issue?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because his father started this without going through the legislators, and then, you know, he's just going to follow in his father's footsteps. So they're untouchable. He'll never go after them. He gets his envelope once a year, and everything's happy. So that's how it's going to be.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
All right, he's talking about Andrew Cuomo and his father, Mario Cuomo, and the whole Indian issue. That's an issue for another day, and that I don't have enough time for. But it's just an unfortunate thing for the area to have to be going through again.
Most definitely.
And it just seems that we get punched in the face, and we get punched in the face. We're like Mike Tyson in his former years, where he could take a pounding, not go down, but people still want to see him fall. And it's almost like the rest of the state, downstate Albany, wants to see us fail sometimes. I know that's not the case, because why would they want anybody in New York State to fail? But from what I'm looking at, that's what they want. They want to do something to hurt us.
Well, it looks like for the last 30 years, leadership in New York State government has been downstate. We look at the present governor, past governors have been just north of New York City, or from New York City.
Yeah.
Leadership in the House and Senate, Assembly and Senate have been pretty much downstate as far as in the Assembly. We know we had Mr. Bruno representing the Senate, and we know where that went.
Yeah.
Where that went with the chip fab and not going to Marcy.
Yeah.
But we have concerns, and it appears that we get the short end of the stick very often.
It's funny when you talk to people from New York City, and you say, oh, I'm from upstate New York. Oh, White Plains? That's what they think upstate New York is. They have no idea. And when I went to college with a number of people from New York City, and they've never seen a deer in their life. They were amazed. We had to stop and pull over because we went past cows.
It's ironic if you speak to anybody from other states and you say you're from New York again.
It's the city. I qualify. I used to live. I lived briefly in South Carolina. I said I'm from New York, and they said, "Oh, I love New York City." I go, "Well, I don't, and I'm not from there. I'm from upstate Utica, New York."
I couldn't agree with you more. I always qualify. I say I'm from upstate New York. I live in Marcy, which is next to Utica and in between Utica and Rome. Beautiful country. Great people. I like the city to visit, would never want to live there.
No, me neither. I don't see why anybody would want to, honestly. And it's just, you know, we have to let them know in Albany that we're New York citizens too. We're part of this state. We're the forgotten part, but we're the part of the state that really drives it. We're the hardworking people. We're the blue-collar, roll-up-your-sleeves farmers. We're the backbone of this state, and it's been lost on these politicians in Albany because they don't care. They just don't care. They think we're a bunch of hicks, a bunch of rubes, because we don't live in New York City or Buffalo or Albany. We live in Utica, Marcy, Rome, Herkimer, Little Falls. This is New York. This is Central New York, and we're forgotten.
Mark, it sounds like you're pretty passionate about this issue.
It's too early for me to get so angry.
Well, we appreciate your passion, and we hope you keep this issue out in front because we need your support. We need everybody's support.
And not just politicians. We need the public, the private sector, businesses to get involved in this. Think about the diners or the restaurants that these guys go to lunch, the pizzeria shops, the gas stations that they get their gas at. They're going to lose all this business.
Most definitely.
But I'm sure the governor took that into account. My foot!
We don't know what he took into account because we haven't seen the statistics. We have not seen the report. And he owes us that. We heard from his spokesman who indicated that the agreement was he could identify the facilities. He did not have to release a report. He doesn't, I guess, have to release a report, but don't you think he should? As
transparency.
A governor?
I sat
definitely.
There at Mohawk Valley Community College, and I listened to his People's First campaign. Well, guess what? We're people. Why don't you put us first, Mr. Cuomo? Transparency and ethics reform, great. So step up, Mr. Cuomo. I haven't seen him. Did he tour the facility? Did Chuck Schumer come up and tour the facility? I haven't seen one hair on their heads.
Well, that's what we're hoping for. I believe if Governor Cuomo and his staff showed up at Oneida Correctional, they would see the facility. They would have an opportunity to speak to staff, and I think they definitely would be impressed and change course on this decision.
And this is time for Ms. Roanne DeCito to step up to the plate.
No comment.
No comment. I understand that. I like Roanne. I've known Roanne for a number of years, but she's like his left-hand man now.
I really want to stay focused and positive, but our assemblywoman, our ex-assemblywoman, got her promotion. She's basically nowhere to be found. It's very disappointing, and we're going to fight the battle without her.
Yeah. I encourage everybody to call your local representative from every level of government, even if it's the mayor of your small town. I'm going to call Don Rothdiner from Oriskany after I get off the show and say, Don, what are we going to do?
Well, we got some resolutions going forth. City of Rome, City of Utica, and the Oneida County Board of Legislature will have a resolution actually today that we are working on that will be put forward. And I got to identify there were several legislators there in support from throughout the county.
Yeah.
They're supporting us. We appreciate it. We had council people there. I know Jim Zecca was there. I know Lou DeMarco from Rome,
yep.
A councilperson was there. There may have been others.
It was a big crowd.
Oh,
it was a huge crowd.
It was a great crowd. You could see the passion. You could hear the passion from the politicians and from the people. It was great.
It was really invigorating to be there. I hope everybody doesn't lose their momentum because we're about 9-10 days away from this happening, and we need to amp it up. Businesses have to be involved. It just can't be our local politicians.
Most definitely.
It just can't. It's a community.
It's
and we
got
to pull together.
It's too big of an issue to just say, well, it's Oneida Correctional employees or the other three facilities, Mid-State, Marcy, or Mohawk. It's the community. It's the effect, devastation on the community. And again, let me reiterate, wherever you close, whatever community is affected by closures, it hurts. But we need the facts, and that's what we're asking for.
Yeah, excellent. Rick Flisnick, thank you so much. We're going to be on top of this issue, and we're going to keep everybody informed on any rallies that are going on, how you can get involved, if you want to sign for your lawn, whatever it takes. We need to get on this issue and to keep it going. Sir, thank you. I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate the opportunity to speak on this issue. Keep up your great work.
And thank you for the muffins.
Take care.